But today our scripture picks up from the story we heard John read as the elder in Numbers. And so this is Numbers 17, verses 1 through 11. The Lord spoke to Moses, saying, "Speak to the Israelites and get 12 staffs from them, one for each ancestral house, from all the leaders of their ancestral houses. Write each man's name on his staff, and write Aaron's name on the staff of Levi. For there shall be one staff for the head of each ancestral house. Place them in the tent of meeting before the covenant where I meet with you, and the staff of the man whom I choose shall sprout. Thus I will put a stop to the complaints of the Israelites that they continually make against you." Moses spoke to the Israelites, and all their leaders gave him staffs, one for each leader, according to their ancestral houses, 12 staffs, and the staff of Aaron was among theirs. So Moses placed the staffs before the Lord in the tent of the covenant. When Moses went into the tent of the covenant on the next day, the staff of Aaron for the house of Levi had sprouted. It put forth buds, produced blossoms, and bore ripe almonds. Then Moses brought out all the staffs from before the Lord to all the Israelites, and they looked, and each man took his staff. And the Lord said to Moses, "Put back the staff of Aaron before the covenant to be kept as a warning to rebels, so that you may make an end of their complaints against me, or else they will die." Moses did so just as the Lord commanded him, so he did. Thank you, God, for giving us your word to feed on and help us grow. I had a clever idea recently. Well, I thought it was clever. You know how we're periodically doing sermons on eating our way through the Bible. So it came to me to do some of those sermons around eating idioms, you know, like don't cry over spilled milk or spilling the beans or walking on eggshells. I'm still trying to figure out how to do something around the age-old saying, have your cake and eat it too. Although it really should be eat your cake and have it too. And what's the greatest thing since before sliced bread? The bread of life, of course. As I studied and prepared for this series, I realized a lot of the food mentioned in the Bible are foods that we enjoy too in our own day and time. For instance, when Jacob wanted to send a present to the Pharaoh, not knowing the Pharaoh was Jacob's own son Joseph, his gift included regional delicacies of Israel, the choice fruits of the land, including a little balm and a little honey, gum, resin, pistachio nuts, and almonds. Well, not to brag, but we do have the world's largest pistachio right up the road at Pistachio Land in Tularosa. The story we heard from today's scripture features an almond branch. I sometimes wish I'd taken Hebrew in seminary, because when many of the words in the Hebrew language are translated into English, we lose some subtle nuances and puns that would make God's word even more intriguing. You have to agree, sometimes the Bible is a hard nut to crack. And because of those nuances I just mentioned, it's good to read and study different versions of the Bible and compare how these editions translate different words. Of course, we all love the majestic, eloquent words of the King James Version. But for clarity and simplicity, you may want to read different translations of the Bible, like the Modern English Version or the Message. So a good example of words whose understated appeal we miss is the word almond. In Hebrew, it denotes the waking tree, and it's applied to the almond tree because it's the first tree to blossom early in the season. In Jeremiah 1:11, we read, "The word of the Lord came to me, saying, 'Jeremiah, what do you see?' And I said," Jeremiah said, "I see a branch of an almond tree." That's in the New Revised Standard Version of the Bible, which we have in our pews here. Other versions call it a rod instead of a branch of an almond tree. And in the Douay-Rheims Bible, Jeremiah replies, "I see a rod watching." This is because the Hebrew word shaked, S-H-I-K-E-D, which means almond tree, is a form of the word shakad, S-H-A-K-A-D, which means to keep watch, to be awake. The almond tree is a watchful tree because it blossomed early in January, and it indicated warm spring weather was on the way. Wait and watch for it. The almond tree was a harbinger of better days and more blessings coming soon. When it bloomed, it was a good sign. But the almond branch in the story in Numbers served as a warning. As the rabble-rousers, more than 200 of them, confronted Moses and accused him of exalting himself above everyone else, God's wrath was stirred. So God decided to show everyone, once and for all, just whom God had chosen to lead the people. The contest was deceptively simple. God made a nutty request. All 12 leaders of the 12 ancestral houses were to bring their staffs and place them in the tent of meeting. The tabernacle before the Ark of the Covenant was the place where God dwelt. Only Moses was allowed to go into the inner sanctuary, and that was only once a year on the Day of Atonement. It was a terribly holy place, not to be defiled or disrespected. It was a place where special, mysterious things happened. I wonder what everyone expected as they brought the staffs and gave them to Moses to place in the tent of meeting. Of course, these staffs were the sign that these men were the shepherds of the people, leaders of the different tribes, heads of the households. A rod was a symbol of authority. Shepherds used their staffs to guide and gather the sheep. And we all remember the line from the 23rd Psalm, "The Lord is my shepherd, thy rod and thy staff, they comfort me." Now, Aaron's staff had previously done numerous miracles. In a tense meeting before Pharaoh, he had thrown his staff down on the ground and it became a snake. And Pharaoh's magicians threw down their staffs as well, and they became snakes too. But Aaron's snake swallowed all the others. Remember that scene in the Ten Commandments? When Aaron stretched out his staff over the waters of Egypt, they turned into blood. So Aaron's rod had already seen lots of action. God plainly said, "The staff of the man whom I choose shall sprout." But maybe the grumblers didn't quite believe what God said, didn't quite believe what could or that could or would happen. God specifically said Aaron's name was to be carved on his particular staff, so there would be no mistaking whose it was and no mistaking whom God had chosen. Maybe each complainer hoped their staff would be the one to sprout. Hey, it could happen. But theirs didn't sprout. The next morning when they checked the 12 staffs, Aaron's had not only sprouted leaves, but it also had blossoms and almonds on it. From a dead, dry stick came signs of life and a promise for the future. These rods had been well used and well seasoned. There was no way, short of a miracle, that any of them could ever have budded and blossomed and borne fruit, except the one chosen by God. How did the rebels feel when they meekly took back their sticks? Did it settle the question of authority once and for all? Spoiler alert, nah. It should have. God had already long ago chosen Moses and Aaron to lead the people. The shakad was a warning to watch what you challenge God on. The shakad was a warning to be awake for and aware of God's will. It was also a reminder that apart from God, none of us are anything, and none of us can do anything. We need to be grafted and rooted in God in order to sprout, to bloom, to blossom, and bring good things forth. We do agree with at least one thing that the dissenters said. All the congregation is holy, every last one of them. Yes, it's true. God wants to use and bless everyone who makes a covenant to follow and obey and serve God. Yet sometimes God sets people apart, anoints them with olive oil, like we learned about last week, to do something distinctive for God's own purpose. And we should rejoice about that instead of complain, support instead of slander those whom God chooses. There was no need or reason for Korah and his companions to be jealous of Moses and Aaron. Truth to tell, if they'd had their druthers, these brothers wouldn't have chosen to lead this stubborn pack of whiners and complainers. They were not out to exalt themselves or to lord it over everybody else. They were not hoping to hoard the riches of God's blessings for themselves. The people needed to have a reality check, and God did this by doing something unreal and impossible. Aaron's almonds were a wake-up call, a word of warning from the waking tree. Thus God shook a stick at the people and said, "Stop complaining." God wanted to show all of Israel and all of us as well that apart from God, we can never sprout or bloom or blossom or bear fruit, the fruit of faith, the fruit of love, the fruit of obedience. In God's goodness, there are blessings enough for all of us. There's no need to be jealous or resentful. Our work is to bloom where we are planted, and our willingness to do what God has asked us to do and our openness will draw us to God, our willingness to work for God without drawing attention to ourselves. We're only twigs, limp and lifeless, waiting for God to nourish us and bring us back to life, even if we're old and dried up and brittle and seemingly useless. But in Ezekiel 17, we read where God says, I dry up the green tree and I make the dry tree flourish. Yeah, we're nuts about the Bible. We're nuts about God. God further commanded that this miraculous blooming rod would be placed in the Ark of the Covenant, along with a jar of manna and the Ten Commandments, as a reminder and as a sign and as a witness to God's choosing Aaron and God's ability to bring life from the dead. We get the biggest example of that in the person of Jesus Christ, praise God. You know, they're still looking for the Ark of the Covenant. I wonder when they find it, will Aaron's rod still be in there, blossoms and nuts and all, as fresh as the day it sprouted? It sounds nutty, but hey, God can make it happen. Let us pray. God, bring new life to us. Let us sprout and blossom and bud and bloom and offer to all the fruit of your love. Plant us where you need us to grow. And nourish and sustain us as we spread the good news about your plan to make us all come alive once more in service and witness to you. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.